looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Political Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
All right. Another Sunday evening here. Time for a little bit of Christian Political Talk. Hope everybody's had a great weekend so far.
It's been crazy weather here. I don't know about where you live, but...
It's been a little nuts, isn't it?
Spring is trying to spring, that's for sure.
Yeah, Mother Nature's mad, and right now it's in a custody battle with spring or winter.
That's right.
Don't really know which one it is. So, you got something to start us off with over there tonight?
Yes, I do.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
Tonight's devotional begins, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." That's from Philippians 4, 6 through 7. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul provided his readers with a prescription for anxiety. When confronted with a problem that makes us anxious, Paul said the first thing we should do is pray. The natural response to troubling circumstance is to worry, but that's not how Paul instructed us to respond. Paul taught that if we take our problems to God in prayer, petitioning Him for what we need and thanking Him for the ways He has already blessed us, God's peace will transcend our circumstances. Notice how Paul didn't encourage his audience to talk incessantly about the problem to family and friends, nor did he tell us to try to figure out the problem on our own. Instead, he prescribed prayer as the remedy. God does not intend for His people to use prayer as a last resort, but instead as the first line of defense. The prayer tonight is, "Father, I ask You to deepen my prayer life. When I am faced with trouble or tempted to worry, may my first inclination be to come to You. Teach me to devote myself to prayer."
Amen.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
Because there's so much right now in this world that we all feel anxious about.
Oh, definitely. And it's interesting you say that because we're going to be starting a new series tonight called Anchor. And what comes to mind when I say the word anchor to you?
Something that holds you in place.
That's right. So as believers, we're encouraged to remain steadfast and committed in our faith throughout every trial and storm this life may bring. We are anchored by Jesus. He is our great hope, salvation, and Savior. So you see how that kind of fits in with that?
Definitely.
So we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on in the show because that is going to carry us through the next 4 weeks. And then, oh my goodness, the 31st.
Right.
Easter, mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So then we are going to do a short series on Easter. So starting on Easter Sunday on the 31st. So this is going to carry us up through Easter. So it's going to be really good. So tonight we're going to be talking about Anchored by Hope in this series. So you ready to kick off some news?
Sure.
Politics, current events. It's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news.
Well, we got some things to talk about on the news tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like mudslinging's begun in the things are heating up in the presidential run. And,
I'm sure.
And now, you know, they're saying officials are seeing a massive new surge at the southern border as this country is grappling with a growing crisis.
That shouldn't shock anybody.
And it really is a growing crisis. And we've said many times before, it's not about, you know, people immigrating this country, is about them doing it legally instead of just, you know, coming across the border, you know, as untold millions are now in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we've got to look at. There was an interesting story that came up. The title was, the byline was, Haley questions whether Trump will follow Constitution and backtracks on pledge to support GOP nominee.
I'm not shocked by that.
No, I'm not either. And
I really hate to say that. I really do. You know, because I really liked Nikki Haley as our governor here in South Carolina. But these two things are like day and night.
Oh, definitely. And the meat of this story is basically, you know, as they question her whether former Donald Trump would follow Constitution if elected again, and she refused to say whether she would support him in the general election. She said, I don't know, Haley said during an appearance on NBC's Meet the Press Sunday, where she was asked if she believed Trump would follow the Constitution if elected. She said, when you go and talk about revenge, when you go and talk about, you know, vindication, I don't know what that means. And only he can answer that.
Well, then my question becomes, who is he trying to seek revenge on? That's not what I get from him at all.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
And, you know, vindication, maybe I can understand vindication because he and his family have been just torn.
Oh, yeah.
To shreds by so many different individuals trying to say, you know, that he's done things that are not only unconstitutional, but illegal.
Yep.
And, you know, usually people fall into the fold when they're beaten.
Yep.
And they will support the nominees. So I think Nikki Haley, if she's smart, will back off.
Yeah, well, you know, of course, she is the only remaining contender, right?
Absolutely.
And she has so far failed to gain traction among voters. Trump has easily swept every race of the primary season and holds 10 times the number of delegates as Haley, who has vowed to stay in the race. And here's what it boils down to. And that vow came despite Haley losing to her home state of South Carolina, you know, just a couple weeks ago, right?
Oh, yeah.
With the candidate looking ahead to Super Tuesday on March 5th and over 800 delegates up for grabs on the primary season's most important day. Now, here's what it really boils down to. With Trump's status as clear as a front runner, and it seems seemingly little danger, Haley was pressed on whether she planned to support the former president if he secures a GOP nomination. And she's, you know, refused to commit to despite an earlier pledge. She said, if you talk about endorsement, you're talking about a loss. And I don't think like that. When you're in a race, I don't think about losing, Haley said when asked if she felt bound by the RNC pledge to support the eventual nominee. What I can tell you is I don't think Donald Trump or Joe Trump should be, or Biden. Joe Biden.
Oh, my gosh.
Woo, should be president. I don't think we need two candidates in their 80s. See, that's her whole thing, right? I think people need a new generational leader that is going to go back to what the American dream is. Well, I haven't heard anything from her that says what the American dream is.
No, and former President Trump talks about it all the time.
Yeah, what she's saying is we want for our kids and a place for something that we can be proud of again, right?
Well, absolutely, and that's exactly what Donald Trump is saying too, yep. Is he's wanting to make America great again.
Well, when she was pressed further, she argued that she will make, quote unquote, make what decision I want to make when it comes to endorsing the former president. I don't look at what if, she said. I look at how do we continue the conversation.
Well, you know, I hate to put too fine of a point on it, but if Nikki Haley doesn't fall into line, she will have absolutely zero chance of ever running again. People don't forget.
No, she's gonna push a lot of people the wrong way, the way she's doing this. And I mean, it's clear and evident what you know the Republicans want. And, you know, she is just trying to push this agenda, and she's gonna push too hard. She's gonna push people completely away from her, even in the next election.
Yeah, and, you know, I feel bad for her because I don't know if her team of people that advise her on things have had this conversation with her, but I hope somebody has because she's doing more damage to herself than she can make up for. And as I just said a few minutes ago, you know, people remember stuff and they certainly do hold it against you when you're trying to run for office.
Oh, definitely. So it, you know, there's more rifts than just this going on the Republican side.
I'm sure.
Like the Republican Senate leader fight expected to put party in rift between factions on full display, you know, with the announcement earlier this week about, you know, stepping down.
Mitch McConnell, you know.
Yeah.
He's stepping down, for those of you that haven't heard. And there are several people that want to come up behind him to fill his shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really exactly what you said. I mean, it's going to be a fight between someone else who's older and those that are fresher in the Senate that are younger.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe in this respect, this is where we need somebody who has a more, like a newer way to communicate.
And
so that we can get some new blood in there. We can get some new ideas. We have other things going on, and it's not same old, same old.
Yep. And, you know, the race, of course, has potential to further expose deepening divisions within the party as the conference looks to select a new leader in November after Mitch McConnell leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while the Republicans boast 49 seats in the Senate, you know, they don't all champion the same brand of conservatism.
Exactly.
And this has become more evident in the Trump era as the party's positions and base shifts, right?
Absolutely. You know, I think that everyone is on track for wanting this country to be in a better place. But how we get there is what's the important thing.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that the Trump campaign did not comment when reached by Fox News regarding the former president's preference for a leader. And in his remarks on the Senate floor, McConnell cited Father Time, noting he wasn't the young man sitting in the back anymore. He explained it was time for the next generation of leadership.
And he's absolutely right.
So, you know, there's already been Senator John Cornyn from Texas announced his bid for leader the day after McConnell's announcement on the Senate floor, telling colleagues in a Senate statement, he was asking them to give me the opportunity to succeed as leader McConnell.
Well, watch out, y'all, because it's going to get ugly.
Yeah. Former Cornyn staff and Republican strategist Brian Ross said the race will be a moment for all sides to make their voices heard. However, he believes the competition will demonstrate exactly why the next leader should have the experience and record to bring the different factions together and move forward with a unified agenda. I could agree with that wholeheartedly, right?
Definitely.
You know, Cornyn is the only senator to have formally entered the race. Several others are understood to be eyeing the position and are actively consulting with their colleagues.
Well, as they should,
because
they're going to have internal support in order to make this happen.
Senator Thune, John Thune, is, you know, reaching out to colleagues directly to discuss the future of the Senate Republican Conference and what they would like to see in the next leader. So, you know, other senators believe to be considering their bids. John Barrasso from Wyoming and Senators Rick Scott from Florida and Steve Daines from Montana.
I totally misread that. You said Rick Scott. I thought Tim Scott. I'm like, really?
Yeah. Rick Scott from Florida.
Sorry, Rick. Thought you were Tim, but you're not Tim.
Oh, my goodness. So this is going to be something that's going to be growing, you know, and something to follow and watch over the coming months. I just thought, you know, it's becoming a hot button topic. So,
well, absolutely, the same way it was for when they were trying to decide who they wanted for Speaker of the House.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even really sure how happy people are with that right now, but it was definitely, something where they argued and argued and argued, mm-hmm. and McCarthy went in. They didn't like McCarthy. McCarthy was out, you know. So hopefully this will not be that kind of struggle.
And here's something interesting. There was a story that's saying the Dems mock RNC for desperate fundraising drive that includes stark admission on DNC's money advantage, right? Have you heard about that?
No, but it makes sense because Hollywood completely supports the Democratic Party.
Not all of Hollywood.
Not all of Hollywood, but a majority. Yeah. So, I mean, of course they're going to be plunking money in for this. And, I did actually get something through a text message from Donald Trump, like maybe a week ago.
Yeah.
And they were wanting you to send in donations. And they started at like $40 or $50, I think. And I was just like, well, that's a lot to ask for in this really bad economy right now. Yeah. Maybe you should be going for like fives and tens.
Yeah. Well, the Democrats are trying to rub salt in the wound when it comes to their massive fundraising advantage, but the RNC has started running digital ads admitting it, can't afford to go toe-to-toe with the Democratic National Committee as both parties move deeper into a crucial election year. But it's not always about the commercials and how much money you throw out there, right?
Right. And, it's always the party in power that has more money.
Yep.
So, I mean, that it's not really saying much. I mean, people are pretty well advised on the condition that Joe Biden's in. And I really don't know how the Democratic Party would choose to fight with that dog in the fight.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people have seen things for what it is.
Right.
For lack of a better term of saying that. But, there it is in a nutshell. I mean, there's so much coming out this week, talking about, President Biden's health or the Hunter Biden investigation.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at the top five takeaways from Biden's wild week, as this one article is called, from a botched visit to the Michigan primary to the reappearance of Hunter, the week has been anything but smooth for the White House, and it's unlikely to get any better anytime soon.
Oh, so yeah.
You're ready to go over some of these things.
Shoo, yeah.
Yeah, their Democrats are desperately trying to get on offense when it comes to immigration, border security, sensing a real vulnerability, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that there's been that if you've been listening to the news for the last almost 4 years.
Right.
The White House hastily arranged an official trip the very same day former President Trump was set to make his. Coincidence? Well, I think not.
No, and they didn't really necessarily send him to the worst possible area.
Yep.
They didn't. What does that really say?
Yep, and it does. And I mean, a competent political organization would use a trip and its backdrop to announce something: new money for the wall, additional border security forces, tightening of administration, asylum policy, something, anything, to at least make it seem like they're trying. Instead, Biden got to the border and, dotted around, saying nothing and doing even less. And when asked if he could, what he could do to fix the mess, he blamed Republicans, and he claimed he was helpless in this matter.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. But yet they just said in the article right above that statement that they were putting more money into the wall. So apparently that's not such a bad idea anymore.
Nope, and it's not. And despite what the White House claims, Biden doesn't need a law to fix the issues at the border. The idea that he's unable to do anything on his own is just plain wrong. There are executive orders aplenty, and he was throwing them out left and right when he first came in office. You remember, right?
Oh, yeah.
That can make this situation better. He can restart the Remain in Mexico policy. He can reinstall the emergency declaration he ended on his first day in office that will also allow a large part of money to help staunch the flow of immigrants, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can do smaller things to show he's taking action. Maybe that's getting on the phone and play hardball with other countries, allowing the surge of migrants through their own borders en route to ours. Maybe that means shaking up your team on handling this, including Mayorkas, really?
Yeah, but he is under impeachment right now, so I don't really know what he can possibly do at this moment that's going to change anything and keep him from his own fate.
Yeah, and you know what's sad? That's more ideas that have been rattled off in the last 30 seconds than they've had in the last 3 years.
Yeah, that's okay? That's very true.
And you know, it's crazy. And you know, and let's not forget this, right? For years, Biden's team has insisted that the border was secure.
Right.
They refused to acknowledge anything other than that. And now, at the drop of the hat, it's a crisis that warrants passing a massive bill through a divided Congress,
mm-hmm.
particularly a House of Representatives with a narrow majority. And without it, there's nothing President Biden can do. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. So, you know, that's just part of the things that have gone on this week, right?
Yeah, and you know, and it's a really sad situation that we find ourselves in with the border crisis, because it's not just the Mexican border anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the Canadian border. And, you know, we have never had such an issue with Canada before, because usually it's not such a big deal. But it is now. And the mere fact that, you know, this is something you and I were talking about at some point during this past week, when we were talking about all these people that were crossing in through the Mexican border that are Chinese.
Yes.
And
military-aged Chinese at that. These
right.
are not families. The majority of these are young men.
Mm-hmm.
Military-aged young men.
Right. And this is not the closest place to go if you're trying to, you know, say that you're here for a political asylum.
I think there's this thing called an ocean between here and there, right?
Right, right. A big boat ride.
You know, a big boat ride, a big plane ride, a big something. There is a border closer than the United States of America, which if someone is seeking asylum, they're supposed to go to their closest border.
Right. And, you know, certainly I don't want to make too big of a thing about it, but, you know, when you're looking at all of these people and what the possible plans could be to reverse all of this, it doesn't need to be like something that steps back into, you know, like the whole thing with Germany where they're trying to like out Jews and you know, destroy them.
Yep.
But they do definitely need to leave the country.
Yep.
By whatever means necessary.
And enter legally.
Right. And if you're not going to do that, then definitely we're shipping you back to your nearest, you know, port of call, so yep. to speak, where you can seek asylum.
Yep. And there's been some interesting statements from Hunter this week.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yep. In case you hadn't guessed it, Hunter's back, right?
Oh, yes.
Any day where Hunter's making the news is not a good day for the Biden campaign, right?
An exclusive- you never know what you're going to get.
In an exclusive interview on Monday, Hunter told Axios, "We are in the middle of a fight for the future of democracy."
Are we? I wasn't aware that Hunter was that important.
And they went on to report that he sees his sobriety as crucial, not only to his life, but to ensuring Donald Trump doesn't become president again.
Oh, I want to know what his plan is then.
It's so saying. It's also, you know, patently absurd to view one's sobriety as a determining the very fate of democracy in this country.
Talk about having your ego issues.
So, yet again, Hunter comes out of the woodwork with a self-delusional statement that turns the spotlight away from the White House. you know, and turns the message on to himself.
He's going to rehab.
Yep. And then somewhere in those halls of the White House, you hear a scream, and a communication staffer puts his fist through the wall. And, you know, and if you thought the last week was wild, you know, this week is probably poised to be even wilder with Super Tuesday. You know, scores of delegates from Maine to California. And Thursday night, we'll bring together the President's Congress, the Cabinet, the Supreme Court, and other leaders under one roof for the State of the Union. And who knows what else will be mixed in with that, right?
Buckle up, children.
Buckle up. That's all I can tell you on that. We will definitely have a lot more to talk about next week's show about this, especially after Super Tuesday and after the State of the Union. And
the State of the Union.
Yeah. And Nancy Pelosi will not be there to tear up the
thank the God for small there. Favors.
Yeah. So and you have to wonder now, did she leave in a bye for perhaps her nephew?
Oh, I hope
to
not.
Try to make a run?
Oh, please no.
There's speculation.
Please no.
Speculation of one Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, he is like the last person that needs to pick up the torch for this.
Yeah, we don't
hot
we
mess
do not need
got.
A U.S. California. That's a whole nother story for a whole nother time.
For real.
You ready to move on to some learning?
Let's do it.
It's time to learn. It's time for the message.
So you remember in the beginning of the show, you know, I said as believers, we're encouraged to remain steadfast and committed in our faith through every trial and storm that life may bring. And we are anchored by Jesus, and he is our great hope, salvation, and Savior. And I asked you earlier in the show what you know what the word anchor meant to you, right? And you mm-hmm. said something that kind of holds you in place, right?
Yep.
So very interesting. That's, you know, part of what we're going to be covering tonight, you know, and it's a great night to be here. You know, we're starting a new 4-week series called Anchor. And as we begin our series, you should know it's built around a single Bible verse, okay? Hebrews 6:19, which says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." And that's Hebrews 6:19. And actually, that's not even the entire verse. I know it sounds pretty ambitious to talk about one half of, you know, one Bible verse for the next 4 weeks, but this is the power of the Bible. The living word speaks to us in each and every season of our lives, right? Every circumstance, suffering, and victory, the Bible is truly amazing. And I hope one of the things that you take away from this series is a renewed interest in Scripture as a whole. And an anchor is an amazing invention, okay? It's been used by fishermen and sailors for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. The basic concept of an anchor is that it's a device that's normally made of metal, and it's used to secure a vessel or, you know, to the bed of a body of water to prevent the craft from drifting due to wind or current. And an anchor is simple in design, but very powerful in its function. And as believers, we're encouraged to remain steadfast and committed in our faith through every trial and storm that life may bring. We are anchored, if you will, in hope. And as you may have guessed, that hope is Jesus. You know, one Bible commenter says an anchor was an ancient Christian symbol for safety, security, and hope. It has been found on the walls of Roman catacombs. And this word brings to mind the hymn, "I've anchored my soul in the heavens of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. The tempest may sweep her, the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore." So what is this specific hope the author of Hebrews is referring to in verse 6:19? Yes, of course the answer is Jesus, but why is the conclusion being drawn that we have this hope and not another one. Which brings us to our first point, trusting God's promise. To better understand what's going on in Hebrews 6:19, we really need to look at the section of verses that come before it. And probably at some point, read the first six chapters of Hebrew altogether. But for now, let's start in Hebrews 6:13. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to, you know, an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. From Hebrews 6:13 through 17, God made a promise to Abraham, the father of the Hebrew nation. Since God couldn't swear it on anything greater than himself, he simply said, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. God made a promise to Abraham, and he stayed true to his promise. You know, God is a promise keeper. And at the end of the day, he has kept every promise and fulfilled every prophecy up to this point. Obviously, there's still more to come, but up to this point, God has come through every single time. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever from Hebrews 13:8. So he's not going to have a midlife crisis or go on some crazy existential journey. He remains the same, and this is incredibly good news in a world that's constantly changing and moving. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. From Hebrews 6:18. Be encouraged today, especially those of you who fled from the sin and slavery of the world, to take hold of Jesus. He is the hope, the specific hope that we have. He is firm and secure. He is an anchor for the soul. So let's talk about that anchor for the soul. Once we have Jesus, we are able to anchor ourselves to him. Listen to how faithful commentator Albert Barnes beautifully describes this reality. Hope accomplishes for the soul the same thing which an anchor does for a ship. It makes it fast and secure. An anchor preserves a ship, you know, when the waves beat and the wind blows, as long as the anchor holds. So long as the ship is safe and the mariner apprehends no danger. So with the soul of a Christian, in the temps and trials of life, his mind is calm as long as his hope of heaven is firm. If that gives way, he feels that all is lost. So in the coming weeks, we'll talk about the storms and the tempest of life, in addition to the temptation to hold fast to other things that we think, you know, may keep us safe. But for now, let's consider how peaceful it must be to sleep and work on the deck of a ship whose anchor is steadfast and secure. So it's obviously not a perfect metaphor, but in some way, you know, how it feels to be anchored to hope. If you are anchored firm and secure, if your connections are strong and the anchor is trustworthy, then what room is left for anxiety or fear? If all is good, you might find yourself saying things like, the anchor will hold, or better yet, we're not going anywhere. We can be confident because of this hope we have, and this hope, as opposed to other things, is firm and secure. So let's talk about being anchored by hope. With so much uncertainty in the world, turmoil, confusion, and division, is it any wonder that our cities and cultures are struggling with epidemic levels of anxiety, stress, and depression? Friends and family and neighbors are likely grasping for anything firm and secure to hold fast to, but everything they grab gives away. Hope, wrongfully applied, will often leave us worse off than when we started. This reminds me of a story about Jesus walking on water. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and called him. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" From Matthew 14:25-31. Everything was going well for Peter until he took his eyes off of Jesus and began to have doubts. This particular story reminds us to stay locked on to Christ. Fasten to him our firm and secure hope. There's nothing else. And since this life is complicated and complex, this is pretty straightforward and good news. The anchor is simple in its design, but so very powerful in its function. So over the next few weeks, we're going to continue talking about anchors, boats, hope, and Jesus. And in the meantime, it would be good for all of us here to take some time this coming week to slow down and spend time thinking about the things or people we've put our hope in. Has someone you trusted let you down in the past? Has someone ever lied to you, misled, or manipulated you? Are you anxious or depressed? Have you ever felt fearful of people, places, and situations? If you identify with any of these situations described, or possibly something I've missed, it doesn't mean you're weak, dumb, gullible, or broken. It means you're human. It means you're exactly the type of person Jesus came and died for. In Mark chapter 5, there's a story of a woman afflicted with bleeding for 12 years. She spent all her money on doctors with no relief. She was ostracized from the community and family, set aside and forgotten about. And according to Levitical law of the time, everyone she touched and every place she sat became unclean because she was unclean. But then Jesus shows up. She pushed her way through the crowd and touched the very edge of his garment, thinking to herself, if I can just get to Jesus, he can heal me. And he does. He heals her completely, physically and socially. He restores her. He is our hope, firm and secure. And it is this hope we grab hold of. Even just the edge of his garment. If you've got Jesus, then you've got more than enough. How does that grab you?
Well, I like that because it kind of goes hand in hand with what I was doing with the devotional in the beginning.
Yep.
You know, is putting your trust and putting your hope into taking the time to pray to God for what you need.
Yep.
And thanking him at the same time for what he's done for you.
Very much so.
So, yeah.
And, you know, it all begins with your personal walk, right?
Absolutely.
It all begins in your faith in Christ and turning your life over to him and believing, you know, and turning from that sin and believing that Jesus died for you. He was buried and rose again to pay the price for that. And just simply praying to invite Jesus into your heart. You don't have to be in a special place. You don't have to have someone do it for you. You don't have to have a preacher. You don't have to have anyone. It's just you, wherever you are, simply opening up your heart to the Lord and praying a simple prayer like this. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent in turning from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you pray that prayer for the first time, there's some very important things you can do. What are some of those things that you should be doing right now?
Get yourself a good Bible.
That's right. Get yourself a good Bible. You know, King James Version, I have that. I also have NIV Version. I mean, I got several versions, but, you know, NIV is also a good one. You know, it takes and breaks the context of the Bible down into more contemporary language. So you don't have the these and thous and things that, you know, usually would drive some people away from the Bible. So that's a very good one to have. What's something else?
Join a Bible-based church.
That's right. Get involved in a good Bible-based church. It teaches on the Word. Some other things, small groups, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get involved in a small group and definitely learning how to pray, right?
Absolutely.
What's the best time for you? I mean, I know we talk about it all the time, but what's your best time to pray?
Either when I'm in the shower and I'm taking the time to think through things like how my day's going to go and that sort of thing. And just most of the time that's just asking for strength to get through the day. or it's during a time when I'm like either driving to work or from work.
Yep. I mean, there's no wrong time. Just find the time. I mean, talk to God. There's no secret formula, no secret sauce. There's not a secret handshake. It's just talking to God, right?
Absolutely.
So, wow, we covered some pretty neat topics tonight here on the news and things, and we're definitely going to have more to cover in the coming week, next week in the show, and we'll look forward to part two of the Anchor series. That's going to be great. And you got any last thoughts over there tonight?
Just I'm going to pray for all of our listeners to have a great week, to keep you all safe, and I will see you next Sunday.
That's right. Remember to pray for everything that's going on in the world. Pray for the government. You know, pray for God to shine on his light in all the dark spaces for everybody to know him better.
Yeah. Y'all want to talk about somebody who needs some help and some real God there. That's the government.
Yeah. So, but we will see you guys again next Sunday. And we hope that you'll join us or either join us on podcast later on. We'd love to hear from you. Going to leave you with a short commercial here at the end. Please reach out to us if you got any questions, concerns, or just things that you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you. Till then, everybody, have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you right here next Sunday.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at ChristianPolititalk@gmail.com. That's Christian, PolititalK, @gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
What's your impossible? I need a miracle. What's got you barely hanging by a single thread? What looks so hopeless now? What weighs down your heart with doubt? You beg for a breakthrough, but no sign of breakthrough yet. When you've cried and you've cried till your tears run dry, the answer won't come and you don't know why, and you wonder if you can bow your head even one more time. Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees well out the floor. Don't stop believing. 'Cause mountains move with just a little faith. And your Father's heard every single word you're saying. So don't stop praying.
produced by Sound Image Productions.